Good morning. First of all, I want to thank Mike, you know, to ask me to preach in his absence. I want to thank the elders for letting me preach up here as well. And today's lesson we're going to be talking about is the five essentials for the Lord's work. One problem that we have today in many congregations is the lack of work. And we can look in Ephesians 2:10. We are His workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand so that we would walk in them. Also in Titus 2:14, who gave Himself for us to redeem us from every lawless deed and to purify for Himself a people for His own possession, zealous for good deeds. Many times the Lord's work is not accomplished because the saints do not possess the proper attitudes to accomplish it. So what are those attitudes? They are a powerful faith, a joyful heart, a continual reliance on prayer, a personal love, and a persistent effort. In this lesson, we will discuss and explain these different attitudes. First, we'll look at a powerful faith. If one believes nothing, he will do nothing. So if we do not believe that we can accomplish something, then we're not going to put much effort to try it. In Numbers 13, verses 17 through 33, when Moses sent them to spy out the land of Canaan, he said to them, "Go up there into the Negev, then go up into the hill country. See what the land is like and whether the people who live in it are strong or weak. Whether they are few or many. How is the land in which they live? Is it good or bad? And how are the cities in which they live? Are they like open camps or with fortifications? How is the land? Is it fat or lean? Are there trees in it or not? Make an effort then to get some of the fruit of the land. Now the time was the time of the first ripe grapes." So they went up and spied out the land from the wilderness of Zin, as far as Rehob, at Lebo Hamath. When they had gone up into the Negev, they came to Hebron, where Ahiman, Shishai, and Talmai, the descendants of Anak, were. Then they came to the valley of Eshcol, and from there cut down a branch with a single cluster of grapes, and they carried it on a pole between two men, with some of the pomegranates and the figs. That place was called the Valley of Eshcol, because of the cluster which the sons of Israel cut down from there. And when they returned from spying out the land at the end of 40 days, they proceeded to come to Moses and Aaron and to all the congregation of the sons of Israel in the wilderness of Paran at Kadesh. And they brought back word to them and to the congregation and showed them the fruit of the land. Thus they told him and said, "We went into the land where you sent us, and it certainly does flow with milk and honey, and this is its fruit. Nevertheless, the people who live in the land are strong, and the cities are fortified and very large. And moreover, we saw the descendants of Anak there. Amalek is living in the land of the Negev, and the Hittites and the Jebusites and the Amorites are living in the hill country, and the Canaanites are living by the sea and by the side of the Jordan." Then Caleb quieted the people before Moses and said, "We should by all means go up and take possession of it, for we will surely overcome it." But the men who had gone up with him said, "We are not able to go up against the people, for they are too strong for us." So they gave out to the sons of Israel a bad report of the land which they had spied out, saying, "The land through which we have gone in spying it out is a land that devours its inhabitants, and all the people whom we saw in it are men of great size. There also we saw the Nephilim. The sons of Anak are part of the Nephilim. And we became like grasshoppers in our own sight, and we were in their sight." So they didn't have the faith to go out and take the land. And with faith, all things are possible. In Matthew 17:14-21, when they came to the crowd, a man came up to Jesus, falling on his knees before him and saying, "Lord, have mercy on my son, for he is a lunatic and is very ill. for he often falls into the fire and often into the water. I brought him to your disciples, and they could not cure him. And Jesus answered and said, You unbelieving and perverted generation, how long shall I be with you? How long shall I put up with you? Bring him here to me. And Jesus rebuked him, and the demon came out of him, and the boy was cured at once. Then the disciples came to Jesus privately and said, Why could we not drive it out? And he said to them, Because of the littleness of your faith. For truly I say to you, if you have faith the size of a mustard seed, you will say to this mountain, Move from here to there, and it will move, and nothing will be impossible to you. But this kind does not go out except by prayer and fasting. So according to James 2:14, if we have no works, we have no faith. What use is it, my brethren, if someone says he has faith but he has no works, can that faith save him? Also, if we have no faith, that equals no works in James 2:17. Even so, faith, if it has no works, is dead, being by itself. You know, we have a Bible definition of faith, and it is found in Hebrews 11:1. Now, faith is the assurance of things hoped for, the conviction of things not seen. The next essential that we need for the Lord's work is a joyful heart. And we should rejoice in the Lord, in Philippians 4:4. Rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I will say rejoice. And we should not be discouraged and down. Because of God's love of our hearts, because of God's love, our hearts will rejoice. In Psalms 13:5, But I have trusted in your loving kindness. My heart shall rejoice in your salvation. When we have trials and tribulations, we should still have a joyful heart. In James 1, 2, and 3. Consider it all joy, my brethren, when you can encounter various trials, knowing that the testing of your faith produces endurance. You know, we have plenty to be thankful for. You know, we are the children of God. 1 John 3, verses 1 to 3. See how great a love the Father has bestowed on us, that we would be called children of God, and such we are. For this reason, the world does not know us, because it did not know Him. Beloved, now we are children of God, and it has not appeared as yet what we will be. We know that when He appears, we will be like Him. Because we will see him just as he is. And everyone who has this hope fixed on him purifies himself just as he is pure. And we have all spiritual blessings. In Ephesians 1:3, Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places in Christ. We will also receive the crown of life, as it states in 2 Timothy 4, 7, and 8. I have fought the good fight. I have finished the course. I have kept the faith. In the future there is laid up for me the crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, will award to me on that day, and not only to me, but also to all who have loved his appearing. And the next essential thing we need to do the Lord's work is a continual reliance on prayer. The prayer of a righteous man accomplishes a lot. In James 5:16 through 18. Therefore, confess your sins to one another and pray for one another so that you may be healed. The effective prayer of a righteous man can accomplish much. Elijah was a man with a nature like ours, and he prayed earnestly, and it would not rain. And it did not rain on the earth for 3 years and 6 months. Then he prayed again, and the sky poured rain, and the earth produced its fruit. Also in Matthew 21:18-22, Now in the morning, when he was returning to the city, he became hungry. Seeing a lone fig tree by the road, he came to it and found nothing on it except leaves only. And he said to it, No longer shall there ever be any fruit from you. And at once the fig tree withered. Seeing this, the disciples were amazed and asked, How did the fig tree wither all at once? And Jesus answered and said to them, Truly I say to you, if you have faith and do not doubt, and will not only do what was done by the fig tree, but even if you say to this mountain, Be taken up and cast into the sea, it will happen. And all things you ask in prayer, believing, you will receive. People who are not interested enough to pray, they are usually not interested enough to do the Lord's work. We know that, you know, God answers our prayers. In Matthew 7, verses 7 through 11, ask and it will be given to you. Seek and you will find. Knock and it will be opened to you. For everyone who asks receives, and he who seeks finds. And to him who knocks, it will be opened. Or what man is there among you who, when his son asks for a loaf, will give him a stone? Or if he asks for a fish, he will not give him a snake, will he? If you then, being evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Father who is in heaven give what is good to those who ask him? Prayer changes things. We should pray to the one who can change them. We should pray about the things that can be changed. If God does not see fit to change the things that we are asking for, then we should pray that our desires conform to his. And we must never give up our desire to make things change for the better by our prayers. The next essential that we will discuss is a personal love. We must have love for the Lord. In John 14, 23 and 24, Jesus answered and said to him, If anyone loves me, he will keep my word, and my Father will love him, and we will come to him and make our abode with him. He who does not love me does not keep my words, and the words which you hear is not mine, but the Father's who sent me. We must possess a love for the brethren. In 1 John 4, 20 through 21, If someone says, I love God and hates his brother, he is a liar. For the one who does not love his brother, whom he has seen, cannot love God who he has not seen. And this commandment we have from him, that the one who loves God should love his brother also. Also in Hebrews chapter 10, verses 24 and 25. And let us not consider, and let us consider how to stimulate one another to love and good deeds, not forsaking our own assembling together, as is the habit of some, but encouraging one another, and all the more as you see the day drawing near. For us to function collectively, there must be love and unity. 1 Corinthians 1:10, Now I exhort you, brethren, by the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, that you all agree, and that there be no divisions among you, but that you be made complete in the same mind and in the same judgment. For us to function collectively, there must be love and unity. In Philippians 2, verses 1 through 4. Therefore, if there is any encouragement in Christ, if there is any consolation of love, if there is any fellowship of the Spirit, if any affection and compassion, make my joy complete by using the same mind, maintaining the same love, united in spirit, intent on one purpose. Do nothing from selfishness or empty conceit, but with humility of mind regarding one another as more important than yourselves. Do not merely look out for your own personal interests, but also for the interests of others. And we must show love for the lost. In Luke 19:10, For the Son of Man has come to seek and save that which is lost. And heaven's attitude is seen in Luke 15, verses 1 through 7. Now all the tax collectors and the sinners were coming near him to listen to him. Both the Pharisees and the scribes began to grumble, saying, This man receives sinners and eats with them. So he told them this parable, saying, What man among you, if he has 100 sheep and has lost one of them, does not leave the 99 in the open pasture and go after the one which is lost until he finds it? When he has found it, he lays it on his shoulders, rejoicing. And when he comes here, he calls together his friends and his neighbors, saying to them, Rejoice with me, for I have found my sheep which was lost. I tell you that in the same way, There will be more joy in heaven over one sinner who repents than over 99 righteous persons who need no repentance. So if you do not love, if you do not have love, you really don't have anything. 1 Corinthians 13, 1 through 3. If I speak with the tongues of men and of angels, but do not have love, I have become a noisy gong or a clanging cymbal. If I have the gift of prophecy and know all mysteries and all knowledge, and if I have all faith so as to remove mountains, but do not have love, I am nothing. And if I give all my possessions to feed the poor, and if I surrender my body to be burned, but do not have love, it profits me nothing. And the last the last essential that we're going to talk about is to have a persistent effort. We must always be persistent in the worship of God. That is how that we will succeed. In Luke 18, verses 1 through 8. Now he was telling them a parable to show them at all times they ought to pray and not to lose heart, saying, in a certain city there was a judge who did not fear God and did not respect man. There was a widow in that city, and she kept coming to him, saying, give me legal protection from my opponent. For a while he was unwilling, but afterward he said to himself, even though I do not fear God nor respect man, yet because this widow bothers me, I will give her legal protection. Otherwise, by continually coming, she will wear me out. And the Lord said, hear what the unrighteous judge said. Now will not God bring about justice for his elect who cry to him day and night, and will he delay long over them? I tell you that he will bring about justice for them quickly. However, when the Son of Man comes, he will find faith. Will he find faith on the earth? And we have an example of someone who is persistent. And it was Paul in Philippians 3, 12 through 15. Not that I have already obtained it or have already become perfect, but I press on so that I may lay hold of that for which also I was laid hold of by Christ Jesus. Brethren, I do not regard myself as having laid hold of it yet, but one thing I do, forgetting what lies behind and reaching forward to what lies ahead. I press on toward the goal for the prize of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus. Let us therefore, as many as are perfect, have this attitude. And if in anything you have a different attitude, God will reveal that also to you. We need to be an example by doing the work of God. In Romans 12, 1 and 2, therefore I urge you, brethren, by the mercies of God, to be present, to present your bodies a living and holy sacrifice, acceptable to God, which is your spiritual service of worship. And do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, so that you may prove what the will of God is, that which is good and acceptable and perfect. And also in 1 Corinthians 15, 58, therefore, my beloved brethren, be steadfast, immovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, knowing that your toil is not in the vain in the Lord. We may not always get the results that we want, and we should not let that discourage us. The Lord will judge us based on our effort and not our results. He will not condemn us for lack of results, but he will for lack of effort. And we all need to possess each of these attitudes. If we are going to accomplish the work of the Lord, then we will need to be faithful, have a joyful heart, prayerful, have a personal love, and be persistent. My last question that I have for you is, do you have what it takes to work for the Lord?
Number 319.